Please turn your Bibles to Proverbs 30. And here in this chapter, our subject this afternoon is a sermon for the humble. A sermon for the humble. Let us look at verses 1 to 4. The words of Agu, the son of Yakar, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Itiel, even unto Itiel and Uka. Surely I am more prudish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I have neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. The word, and here, chapter 30, is the teaching of this person by the name of Agu to his two students, Itiel and Uka. And the teaching concerns the humble and the wise. The name Agu means collector, so it could be referring to his gathering of this wise saying or proverbs, rather than as the composer of such of these proverbs. And we see him, Agu, abasing himself, though he was an instructor or a tutor, and he spoke in the lowest terms of himself, and he declared that he was more prudish. The word prudish here means stupid than any man. And so wisdom is justified of her children. And here, Agu, this person by the name of Agu, perhaps in presenting himself in such humble terms, was for the purpose to wean his students from undue confidence in himself. He passed the grievous censure upon himself, and that his hearer might not suffer their faith to stand in the wisdom of men. He does not want his students to look up to him and to depend on him, so to speak, but rather he wants to lead them to turn them to God for wisdom. I do not doubt that Agu meant to describe himself as he felt himself to be, apart from the grace of God. Or better, and more likely, he felt so prudish or foolish after he has been enlightened by the Spirit of God. You see, brethren, one distinguishing mark of a man's true wisdom is his knowledge of his ignorance. Have you ever noticed how the clean heart, the sanctified heart of the Christian, always mourns or sorrow over uncleanness? And the wise man always laments his folly. It needs holiness to detect our own unholiness. It needs wisdom to discover our own folly. When a man talks or boasts of his own cleanness, his very lips are foul with pride. And when a man boasts of his wisdom, he actually proclaims his folly with trumpet sound. Because God had taught Agu much, and he felt that he knew but very, very little. Let us learn from Agu what is true humility, according to God's definition and not according to man. He was a wise man who did not think too highly of himself or his wisdom, though he is indeed a teacher or a tutor. His wisdom lies in the fact that he placed all his trust in his God and God's revealed wisdom, rather than in his own learning or according to his own experience. He sought to lift up or to direct the readers or his students towards the infinite glory of God and his Son, the Creator of the vast universe. Agu gives great credence to the Bible being the inspired, pure word of God. And always, and in all places, the most relevant truth. In this, Agu is a model for us of humility before God, complete dependence upon God's Son and upon his word for true wisdom, and absolute confidence in the scriptures, as the infallible truth of God. This afternoon, I'd like to consider with you, looking at this text from another perspective, which is, firstly, we see here Agu held himself in his own opinion and judgment to be an inferior person. And yet, nevertheless, we see here that Agu, this person, was a firm believer in his God. And he also was an earnest student of Scripture, sacred Scripture, of the Word of God. All the more, because of his ignorance, he pressed on to learn more and more of God. He realized that the more he reads and studies the Word of God, the more he realized that he does not know. Nor will this all be. He was also a willing worker, for he spoke prophetically in the name of the Lord. And from his this short writing, it is clear that he is also a joyful truster in God. Brutish or stupid as he judged himself to be, he rose into supreme content at every thought of God. And so, I would like to just briefly go through these 4 points as the Lord help us in the study of this passage. Our first lesson is this: a sense of inferiority must not keep us back from faith in God. A sense of inferiority must not keep us back from faith in God. Agu was a wise man who says, "Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man." Yet he has a firm faith in God. If we have to say what Agu said, let us also trust as Agu trust. There are those who trust in God because they think themselves to be wise, they think themselves to be intelligent, to be smart. Others trust in God because they have great riches or great gifts and many talents. And then on the other hand, there are those who seem as if they could not trust in God and believe in God because they are not like those who are spiritually matured Christians, who have grown much in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and that they are useful in the Lord Jesus. They consider all these matured Christians as spiritual giants, and they felt themselves very low as compared to these Christians. To those who think or felt this way, to you who think that you may not be like the other Christian who is full of the knowledge of the Bible and who is serving the Lord actively and who is blessed with all these spiritual gifts, I like to say this to you. First of all, remember that you see these Christians at their best. You have not seen their seamy or their corrupt side, or we call it the ugly side of them, so to speak. Perhaps they have not told you how at times their feet were almost gone. Their steps have well nigh slipped, like the psalmist said in Psalm 73 verse 2. You see their days. You see them at the heights of the mountain, so to speak, and not their nights. And in this you differ in looking at them and feeling yourself low, that you are not able to attain at their spiritual height. In this you differ from the wicked world. The ungodly, on the other hand, always notice the bad points in the Christian. They eat up the sins of God's people as they eat bread, and it nourishes, and it is a nourishment to them. So as for you who are troubled or who are discouraged, as you look at your own spiritual growth, as you look at the growth of other Christians who seems to be doing better, so to speak, than you, you only observe the virtues of these believers and you have overlooked their failings and their shortcoming. And this is in fact a good Christian virtue to cultivate, to overlook the shortcomings and the failings of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and to just focus on their good virtue, so to speak. Surely, if this happens, God has wrought a change in you. In this, there is some ground of hope. The Lord Jesus, who has taken away your envy, your malice, and all your uncharitableness, will remove the rest of your sins if you bring them before God in repentant faith. Brethren, do not think that it would be very great folly on your part if you should refrain from believing in the Lord Jesus, seeing that you had greater need to seek the Lord than other believers. So therefore, it is a good thing to have a very clear and humble assessment of yourself. And with this understanding being brought, or you feeling low and thinking that you are not as spiritually wise as the other Christian, it is a good thing, because this should drive you to know and seek the Lord more. Because you lack these spiritual virtues which you see in other Christians, and realize that you can only have them of the Lord by faith. And therefore, this should be the impetus to push you, or to drive you, or to lead you to seek the Lord and to ask of God to, through His Holy Spirit, to work in you such Christian virtues. And for this reason, should you not go to God in faith to seek Him? This is a good argument for going at once. Is hunger a motive for rejecting food? Or sickness a motive for refusing to consult the physician? Is it logical? I argue in the opposite way. Your urgent need is the strongest reason why you should claim of the Lord by faith, these promises which God has made to needy souls. If you are more prudish than any man, then go to the Lord that He may instruct you. The greater your need, the greater opportunity you have of glorifying God by believing in Him, who is your all-sufficiency, who is able to supply all your needs. If you can believe that God, the Lord of mercy, can and will give you all, you will do God great honor to His name. Is it not written, as we see in Scripture, is it not written, if any man lack wisdom, what do? Stop. And do nothing and become depressed? No. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Upbraideth, as we studied before, it means God will not reproach you or scorn at you when you ask. No, it shall be given him. James 1 verse 5. The more prudish you are and the less of true understanding you have, the greater the opportunity you have of glorifying the Lord Jesus by believing in Him for the great things which you evidently need. God grants that the heights, the spiritual heights to which other men or other Christians may reach, that it will not keep you back from faith in God, but may the rather urge you on to believe great things of God. Remember, brethren, that all Christians are not and cannot be of the same caliber. All Christians indeed are soldiers, brethren, but we are not all champions. God calls upon everyone that believes in Christ to fight his or her battles, but many of us are happy just to belong to the rank and file. We cannot all be captains. We cannot all be leaders. We cannot all be preachers and pastors and ministers. But, and only here and there shall we find a David who went forth with just a sling and a pebble, went forth as a solitary, a one-man champion against gigantic Philistine. Only as God gave him courage and victory. If God permits us less of inward and outward trials than others, God knows best. And thank God for it. We need enough sorrow to drive us from self and carnal confidence. And when that is effected, it would be folly, it would be foolishness for us to sigh for more. Our wisdom is to live our experience with the Lord, who will appoint us son or shed as best will suit our spiritual growth. Let us envy no man his standing, whether upon Mount Tabor or Mount Pisgah. And on the other hand, let us never desire to make diversion with the Lord's Jonahs and go with them to the bottom of the mountains. Seek not, brethren, seek not to copy another man's ups or downs, but wait on God and put your trust in Him, even though you should seem to yourself to be more foolish than any other living human beings. My second point is a sense of inferiority must not keep us from learning. A sense of inferiority must not keep us from learning. If you have not the understanding of a man, there is so much more reason and so much more cause that you should go to the school of the Holy Spirit. Till your eyes, the eyes of your understanding should be enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and you should know, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Vital truth is simple, and there are many great things that are hard to understand. We acknowledge that. But that which is essential to salvation, that which is essential to the saving of your souls, is not difficult to understand. To know yourself a sinner, to know Christ a Savior, is this a deep mystery? To quit yourself of your own self, to quit your own trust, not trusting in yourself, not trusting in your own effort, simply to rely upon the person and the work of the Son of God, is this exceedingly difficult to understand? The safest truth is the simplest. And because God's way of salvation is perfect, therefore it is simplicity itself. You can know the gospel, for it is not a tough metaphysical problem, but a revelation which he that runs may read. Remember also, brethren, that the Holy Spirit is a great teacher, is your teacher. The best earthly teacher, pastor, may be able to do very little with such slow scholars as we are. Therefore, let us rather go to our heavenly teacher, that he may give us his spirit wherewith we may learn the truth. Let me comfort you, brethren, by the remark that the sense of ignorance is a very good beginning for a learner. I repeat, a sense of ignorance is a very good beginning for a learner. The doorstep of wisdom is a humble sense of ignorance. When you are empty of all fancy wisdom, then there is room for God to fill you with heavenly wisdom, with heavenly instruction. If you are more prudish than any man, I should hope you are more surely on the way to be made wise from the very foundation by the teaching of the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus, remember, brethren, the Lord Jesus will not give up one of the children of Zion. They are bought by his blood. He will not give up one of the children of Zion as incorrigible. Therefore, I say to you, let not a sense of inferiority keep you from following on to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I come now to my third lesson, which is this. A sense of inferiority must not keep us from serving God. Do not feel that, I do not have this spiritual gifts, I do not have this talent, I am not able to do it, therefore I should not serve the Lord. Like Agu, let us speak on God's behalf. Let us speak on God's behalf. And you look there in verse 1. His simple word is called what? His wisdom or his word of instruction is called the prophecy. If God should speak by you, my friend, your thinking so lowly of yourself will give an appeal to your speech. If God should use such as you are, whatever may be lacking in you, He will have all the glory of it. Will He not? When the Lord uses a very clever man, there is always the fear that people will ascribe the success to human effort or human instrument. But when the Lord uses the man who owns himself to be a poor, foolish creature, then the honor is not divided. But all men see that this is the work of God and gives God the glory. The Lord loves to use tools which are not rusted with self-conceit. God can use inferior persons for grand purposes. God can use inferior persons for grand purposes. He has often done so. We see it in Scripture. For example, go into His armory and you see how God has worked by flies, lice, L-I-C-E, by worms, by caterpillars, by frogs, by serpents. God's greatest victory were not won by a hammer, or rather God's greatest victory were won by a hammer and a tent pin, and by an ox gall, by the jawbone of an ass, by a sling and a stone, and such like. God uses what no one else would look upon, or no one else would consider using. Is it not strange? God uses what no one else would look upon. The Lord can get much glory out of you, brethren, my poor desponding friend. Wherefore, rouse yourself. Stir yourself up. Though you think yourself quite unworthy, go on, brethren, in consecration of your heart to yield yourself wholly to God, and He will not pass you by. I must give my last point amiss as time is running out. I do not want to keep you for too long. And I shall leave that for another time. Brethren, if you feel that you are more prudish than anybody else in this world, yet believe in God to the utmost degree. Do not distrust God, no matter what. Believe in Him and trust Him with all your heart. And then feel all the more gratitude that He should have loved such a worm, a worthless person as you are. Feel all the more content with that free, rich, sovereign grace which has chosen you and ordained you to eternal life. Glorify God by your every weakness. Glorify God in your infirmity, because the power of Christ does rest on you. Be all the more trustful in God, since you have nothing in yourself to rely upon. Our deep sense of folly, our deep sense of our weakness and infirmities should keep us humble before the Lord. Where is the room for boasting? What have we to glory in? We owe all to mercy, and to mercy shall be all the praise. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, indeed, as the Apostle Paul himself says, that He glory in his infirmities, for it is in his infirmities that he experienced and tastes of the grace and the power of God working in him. And so it is for us also, the Christian believers. And Lord, we pray, therefore, that we may not be discouraged or despondent when we see that we have much infirmities and weaknesses in ourselves, that you are able to turn all this, our infirmities, our weaknesses, into something that will bring glory and honor to your holy name. So therefore, help us to trust, to obey, and we pray, Lord, that in this new week, that thy Holy Spirit will indeed empower us and strengthen us, that we may live our lives that glorify thy holy name and to enjoy thee, so that others may see Christ in us and glorify our Father in heaven. Hear this our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.